Good evening, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Pinchas. So what I'm going to try to do tonight, with God's help, is try to connect the Parsha with the 3 weeks. Especially yesterday was Shivas B'Tammuz, 17th day of Tammuz, which is the beginning of the 3 weeks. So I'm going to try to put it all together and see how Parsha's Pinchas really can help us focus on what the 3 weeks is supposed to be. Just like we have in the days of Elul, as a hakdama, as an introduction to the Yom Nora'im, so you feel like Hashem gave us the 3 weeks to prepare for Tisha B'Av, an official preparation time. You just can't enter into Tisha B'Av and say, oh, I'm sad, based on Migdash, I'm sad. You need time to prepare to be sad also. So Hashem gave us 3 weeks. Now, at the same time, Hashem also made it a little bit easier for us as opposed to the rest of the year. I think I've mentioned it here, that every time where a holiday comes up, there is the, in Hebrew it's called the Hashpa, of the original moment comes back. I think I said it one time at a different shir. Like, the air is saturated. It's in the air. You can feel it. So if you were back in the times of the Beis Hamikdash during the 3 weeks, you can feel it in the air, the destruction, the sadness, the confusion. All those feelings were in the air. So Hashem, as a favor, in a way, to help us get in the mood of Tisha B'Av, sends that original feelings that were back close to 2,000 years ago, and now it's in the air. If we tap into it the right way, we can feel that original, those original feelings. Now, just a few more points before I really get into it. The word Churban we translate as destruction. But interestingly, you find in Parshas Noach, says that Noach looked out the Teva, Vinei, and the land was also using the word Ches Resh Vez. And there it means dried out. Here it means destruction. But I believe they're both connected. What was the Churban? That our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam became dry. Became dried out. There was no mamashes to it. There was no feeling to it. For various reasons. But that's what the Churban really was. It's a curtain, an iron curtain, Chazal say, that's put up between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam to the extent that we don't feel it. We don't feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's like a dry relationship. So that's one thing. That's another thing we have to realize, that during these 3 weeks, we have to work on probably sweetening up the relationship and making it more alive. Add more mamashes to it. Not just like a rote, go through the motions. Everything has to have some chias to it, some life. So this is the time to work on that during the 3 weeks. And another point is that there's two types of churbanos. Churban number one is the churban klali, the general destruction of the Beis Hamikdash that we feel nationally. And there's also churban prati. Everyone has their own destruction. Everyone has their own little story. As we'll discuss a little later, the Maharal says there are three types of shlemus. One of them is bein atzmi, with myself. Then another one with other people. And another one with Ribbono Shel Olam. So there is such a thing as not being at home with oneself. So the 3 weeks is also time to think about, focus on the churban that we're having, the problem we're having with ourselves, and try to work on that to rectify those Churbanos. It could be that you feel lifeless. You could feel that you're dry, that you need more life in your living, religiously or everything. So the 3 weeks is a time to focus on those things just to bring more life into your whole essence and being, whether it's on a, towards God, or with yourself, or with your friend, neighbor, whoever. That's the time to work on, is now. Okay. Many, many decades ago, when I was in a camp, it was Tisha B'Av, I think it was Erev Tisha B'Av, and we're giving the class to the bunks right before Tisha B'Av. So I asked my kids in the bunk, in the group, what does Tisha B'Av mean to you? I tried that this morning in camp. It was different age brackets. I didn't really even get a lot. So a lot of the kids said, the Frumma answers, this is, we don't have the base of Mikdash, and we say we should have the, imagine what like from a bunch of 9, 10-year-olds. So I went around, everyone gave me the same, pretty much the canned answer. Finally got to one kid, he says, nothing. Tisha B'Av means nothing to me. I said, you probably gave me the most honest and correct answer. He said, it's mine. He said, it doesn't mean anything to me. And for a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, even for some adult, it means nothing. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to be sad over something we have no connection with. The best we can have is some history about it. We get some posters we hang up in our sukkah as the simplest base of Shoeva, made with clay people. Otherwise, we have no connection to the base of Migdash. It had, 1900 years ago, it was destroyed. So we have to somehow connect ourselves to that base of Migdash. So if I may give a mashal, an example, I know it sounds a little extreme, so I apologize for that. Let's say you have two parents, and Nebuchadnezzar, they had a kid killed in a car crash. That is very extreme. So the natural reaction probably would be, with their next kid, they're going to be super, super careful with his driving habits, because they don't want the same mistake to happen again. So that's a natural response. So a mistake happened, let's make sure that mistake does not happen again. So sometimes they go a little bit overboard. So what happens? The kid feels that he doesn't have that same type of freedom that other people have. And what happens is, he gets, he's a little angry, and he makes up his mind that when he becomes a father, and he has a kid, he's going to be more free with his kids just because he doesn't want to raise his kids the same way he felt he was just so covered, overprotected. So he's going to give his kids free rein, pretty much. What happens? His kid gets into an accident because of negligence. So what caused the accident? What caused the accident? Think about it. The kid's
behavior. Not the parents.
Not the kid's behavior. No?
Parents' behavior,
because they gave him too much free rein. Why did they decide to do that? Why did they decide to give this kid free rein in the car?
Because of the way he was raised.
So now why did he feel he has to raise his kid different? Because he didn't like how he was raised. And why did the parents raise him? Because of what happened to the older brother. So you could look at the kid who had the accident 2 generations later and say, it really goes back to the original parents. That's the connection. Why did I get into an accident? True, I ran a stop sign or a red light and all that, but why did that happen? Why am I not careful in the car? Because my parents let me be uncareful. And that goes back 2 generations, to the original accident. So if you look at it that way, the tzara of having the second kid in an accident really goes back to the first kid having the accident. That's the chain. The only problem we have, if you can do the same thing with this today and go back to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash 1900 years ago, you can now make a logical argument to say, the tsaras that we're going through today, whether nationally, you know, physically, singularly, family, whatever it is, it all goes back to the base of Migdash being destroyed. The problem is we don't have the capability, probably, to go back 1900 years and make that change. And say, because it was a base of Migdash, therefore this happened. And because of that happened, something else happened. And then all of a sudden, we're in 2015, this is happening. And if you go backwards, the chain will go back to the base of Migdash. We're not capable of doing that. So therefore, we're at a loss. We have no one to tell us the stories of what really, of what happened, and all the tsaras that came before it. So we just have Chazal to tell us a few things. Otherwise, we would have no clue. So I asked my question, how many of your moms make the best chocolate cake? So you get more hands for that one. So I said, just imagine, I said, during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, that cake would taste 100 times better. That's what it is. Everything in the Beis Hamikdash was better, physically, spiritually, the whole world. Gemara says if the Goyim would have known what they were doing, they would never have destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Because they enjoyed the overflow of the bracha that the Jews got. Hashem sends bracha to the world through the Jews. Whatever spills over goes to the rest of the world. So when that bracha stopped and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, not only were we not getting the shefa, the hashpa, the bracha from Hashem, the rest of the world started to dry out also. That was part of the churban. It was dry from bracha. So it's our job to somehow connect ourselves back, if we can, possibly, and think about what it was like during the Beis Hamikdash and not having the Beis Hamikdash, what's it doing for us today. The Mishnah in Maseches Tainis writes, going back to yesterday, on Shivas B'Tamuz, yesterday, five things happen. One, the ego and the subsequent breaking of the luchos. The carbon tamid that was brought every morning and afternoon stopped. One of the Greek, or not Greek, one of the Roman chancellors burnt the Sefer Torah. An idol was set up in the base of Migdash. And the walls in the Bayis Sheni were broken down. The walls of Yerushalayim were broken down yesterday. During the Bayis Rishon, it was broken down on the ninth day of Tammuz. Now the reason why we don't fast on that one, because Chazal said to fast on the ninth, on the seventh, ninth day, and then do it again a week later, and then 3 weeks later, there'll be too much fasting for people to handle. So they just decide just to do Bayis Sheni. That's Shivas B'Tammuz. Just as an interesting, I'll get back to that later. Okay, let's connect it back to Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas, at the end of last week's Parsha, kills Cosby and Zimri and stops the Magefer of where hundreds of thousands of Jews die, as we discussed last week, because it got into the Baal Pa'ar, that disgusting Avodah Zarah. And as a reward, Pinchas is given a bracha of shalom, bircha shalom. So the son of a rebbe asks a question: Why shalom? What he did was gevura, took a lot of strength, took a lot of guts, to go in front of everyone and stick a sword through two people to kill them. So that's gevura. So why is he not given a reward of gevura, of something that had to do with strength? Rather, he's given shalom, which is less, you know, nice, peaceful, happy thing. And then he asks a few other questions. You notice that shalom is all over the place. We end benching Hashem Yivorech Es Amo Bashalom. Tuchening is Yosem Lecha Shalom. Benching also. I said benching? Shmoneh Esrei. Also Shalom B'Rimav. V'yasa Shalom Aleinu. So all about Shalom. Why is Shalom always the ending point of these tefillos? Next question. The last Mishnah in Shas says, Hashem could not find any keli, a vessel, utensil, that could hold bracha as it goes down to the world, except for the keli of Shalom. If there's Shalom, then there's bracha. If there's no Shalom, there's no bracha. It gets dried up. So the Nesiva Shalom is trying to explain what's the whole concept of Shalom. So I'm going to do a little bit more reading than I usually do, excuse me. So the first thing he says, Bevadai, for sure, Eino Rak Inin Shalili. Peace is not just a simple thing. So Ha'edah Machlokes, it just comes about because there's a lack of arguing. Peace does not mean no one's arguing. Peace is a whole different set of circumstances. Like people could say, what's dark? The absence of light. So people could say, why is there peace in the house? Because no one's fighting. Does that mean everyone's getting along with each other? Not necessarily. Except no one's screaming at the moment. It doesn't mean everyone's at Shalom. So he says, Inyan v'shalom, umi lashon shlemus. The whole concept of Shalom is from the lashon of shlemus. Usually we translate shlemus as perfection, completion. I think for the sake of of the shir, I want to call shlemus called harmony. Shlemus is harmony. And that's a whole different ballgame than machlokas. You just don't get harmony just because you don't argue. Harmony, to use a symphony as an example, you can hear, if you get there early, you hear all the men and women in the symphony tuning up and playing. So then they're not doing anything, they're not off key, they're just getting ready. So if you just listen to the symphony at that point, it's not harmony. They're not playing together. They're playing for themselves. But when finally the baton is raised and everyone starts playing, then there's harmony. You hear that. The concert hall is filled with harmonious sound coming from all the instruments playing together. So shlemus is a harmony. When everyone's working together, just like in a symphony, not everyone's playing the violin. Thank you. Everyone's playing different instruments together to get that beautiful sound that everyone comes to the concert to hear, that harmony. So Shalom is just getting things to work in harmony. So every time the word Shalom is mentioned, we're not just talking about not arguing, we're trying to make a harmonious relationship with the Ribbono Shalom, or with ourselves. We want all of the parts of ourselves to work together. We want the relationships we have with other people to work in harmony. We want the relationship with the Ribbono Shalom to work in harmony. Now he says here something very interesting. Rabir Bezeh, he says that, like this, in this world, in the physical world that we have, there can't be harmony. Why? Because there's a Yetzer Hara that's always bugging us. And since every person sins, he can't be perfect, there's an unharmony. Unharmonious?
What's the word? Disharmonious.
Disharmonious relationship between us and the Ribbono Shalom. So he says, it quotes the Pasuk, that even a tzaddik sins. And even when you do a mitzvah, it might not be perfect, or if you have an improper thought, you're doing a mitzvah for a selfish reason. And it's not a perfect mitzvah. It's not working in harmony together. Because you're mixing in other feelings and intentions with the mitzvah, so now it's making it imperfect. When are we going to have shlemus, harmony? Not in this world, so it has to be in the next world. It has to be after Mashiach comes. After Mashiach comes, that's when everything is going to become harmonious again. Because there will be a bittul ra, an extermination of the yetzer hara. Slowly it will fade away. And when there's no ra to bug us, and it's only tov, then they will have a very harmonious relationship with God. Now it's very interesting He says, with Pinchas, I hope that we're aware of, the Gemara says, Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Pinchas somehow, whatever that means, turned into Eliyahu HaNavi. And we all know what's so special about Eliyahu HaNavi. He's going to come and to announce that Mashiach is coming the next day. So, Pinchas, in somehow, who turned into Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi represents that shalom that he's going to announce, that harmonious relation that's going to come with Mashiach. So the bris shalom that Pinchas was rewarded with was the ultimate reward, because he's going to help usher in the era of shlemus, of harmony in the world. Everyone's going to get along. His Gemara says that there'll be no more wars, everyone's going to put down their swords and plowshares, and everyone's getting along. There'll be no need for more peace talks. It's going to be natural. It's Hashem. And he goes on to explain, because he gives a long piece, and he just claims he's going all over the place. What? Shabbat, Shalom. Shalom is also connected with Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is called the Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a taste of Olam Haba. So if I explain to my kids, imagine there's a mitzvah, halacha, to taste the food Erev Shabbos, see if it tastes good or needs a little bit more spices. So if you imagine you go into your kitchen, and you say you're hungry, and your mother gives you a small piece of potato kugel, and you're just loving it. Have more? No, the rest is for Shabbos. Yeah, but Rebbe says I have to taste everything, you're right. Taste everything, not everything of the kugel, just a little bit of everything that's being prepared. So just imagine if you have a small piece and you realize how delicious it is, can you imagine how if you have a bigger piece on Shabbos, can you imagine how good that's going to be? So if you enjoy Shabbos the way it's supposed to be spent in a spiritual way, recharging your spiritual batteries, and you feel, I remember one time I was in Eretz Yisrael, this must have been 1984, 85, I was by some cousins of mine in Eretz Yisrael, and it was going to be the last time I think I was going to be there before I went back to America. So I remember after that down, after Haddah was over, it was a real, like, oh, Shabbos is over, because I was really living in a different realm for the last few hours. I do remember that. I think that was the only time I really felt like, oh, Shabbos is over. Now you feel Shabbos is over, like, oh, because the phone calls are already coming in. It's already back to the regular shtuyot of the week. So, if you can imagine Shabbos, how good it is, and that's only Me'ein Olam Haba, that's only a taste of Olam Haba, can you imagine how great Olam Haba will be? Can you imagine the harmony, the shalom that's going to be in the world? It's going to permeate and saturate the air. You're going to feel it in the air, the natural harmony that's there, as opposed to the world that we're living in, which he says, Kol Metzias Olam HaSheker. The essence of this world is lies. Why? Because Novas Me'edah Shlemus, because it flows from the source of a lack of Shlemus. Someone can say something, you don't know what he meant. Does he really mean that, or is he just playing me? Is he trying to fool me? And interestingly, in this world, we're in the Gaulus of Rome. This is Gaulus Romi. Rome comes from Amalek. The Or Gedolah writes in Purim, in section of Modim, that Amalek can be symbolized, I have it over there, and that's as Madison Avenue. It's all advertising, it's all fake. That's what Rome is. It's all dimion, it's all imagining. They try to sell things to you with the imagination that, oh, if you get this, you'll be much happier in life. And if you do this, you'll be much, much more happier. Because it's new and improved. As a marketing major in college many, many years ago, also decades ago. So I remember that I, based on something else, so what's the idea of marketing? To get people to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't like, with money they don't have. That's what advertising is. Because the bottom line is, what's the real difference between Crest and AIM? I don't know if there's a real difference, or in detergents, but it's new and improved. Do you imagine your clothes are going to come out fresher, smelling better than the old one? I don't know. At least that's what they claim. That's the dimyon. So that's the, they're showing this image of you smiling at the washing machines, being much happier, because that's what the commercial was showing. That's Rome. That's Amalek. That's Madison Avenue. It's all what they're trying to sell. They're selling you sheker. We have to be able to look through, see through it, and overcome all those temptations. So Pinchas is teaching us what Pinchas received is the reward of Shlemus, harmony, shalom. And that he passed over to Eliyahu, who's going to announce the time when it's all going to be shalom in the world. Now, taking that concept, just because I mentioned Me'en Olam Haba, so just as an aside, I just want to mention one thing. Eliyahu HaNavi, or Mashiach, can't come on Erev Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Why? Because people are busy for Shabbos. They're not going to get up and stop and just welcome them. You know, the kugel's in the oven. They don't want it to burn. So they're not going, oh, Mashiach, thanks, but I'm in the middle of cooking for Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. So if Mashiach can't come because of Shabbos, doesn't that tell you how great Shabbos is? Shabbos is only a Me'ein Olam Haba. And that's Docha Mashiach. So if Mashiach is going to be Docha because of Me'ein Olam Haba, can you imagine now what Olam Haba is? If a taste is pushing off Elio and the Mashiach, then Olam Haba itself is going to be beyond us. Okay, so back to Shivas with Thomas in the 3 weeks. I thought last night that the five things that happened yesterday, is also shows us, and why that led to a churban, is because that caused a lack of harmony between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, the ego and the luchos, I think that's very obvious. Avodah Zarah creates a barrier between us and God, because we're worshiping on Avodah Zarah. The luchos, the subsequent breaking of the luchos, also caused a disharmonious relationship, because the Gemara says a lot of things happened because the luchos were brought. Because at that point, when the luchos were given, death was eradicated from the world. That means the world went back to the way it was when Adam HaRishon was created, before the Eitz Hadas. We always tell the kids, no more homework, because of the ego. In other words, if the ego was not made, the kids would not have any homework. So then they, oh, why did they do that? So that breaks up the harmony. The carbon tamid, which is avodah, which creates, because the word carbon comes from the word karad, to bring close. So when the tamid was mevatel, so therefore the closeness we had with God was also mevatel. So that also creates a lack of harmony. When the Torah is burned, I think that's also very obvious, because Torah is our life. That's our connection to God. That's the Eitz Chaim Hi. When you burn that, you're burning down the tree. Same thing with the idol in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're going into the Beis HaMikdash and you see an idol, once again, that's also breaking up the relationship between us and God. The last one, breaking down the walls, I think the way that could be explained is, a wall is a separator. What does it separate? Like when you build a Bais Neman or Mikdash Neman B'Yisrael, what are you trying to do? You're living inside your house, and in a way you're trying to insulate yourself from the negative influences on the outside as much as we can. When we have to go out, we have to go out. But when we're out, we don't have to bring everything in. When they broke down the walls, while the Jews were living inside Yerushalayim and the Goyim were living outside, there was that separator. There was a separation between them and the Goyim. They kept the Jews grounded in what they were supposed to be doing. But now that the wall is broken down, the Romans were able to come in and influence them. So the barrier broke down, and there was a lack of harmony with the observance that the Jews needed to fulfill to keep the Beis HaMikdash standing. So therefore, all those things that happened yesterday, just you can categorize them, that it broke up the harmony between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when there's no Shalom, there's no Shekhinah. When there's no Shekhinah, there's no foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, so it will naturally just be destroyed. One last thing, two more points. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the first Beis HaMikdash, Gemara says it was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos, immoral behavior, Shrichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, the three biggies, three big sins. The second Beis HaMikdash, we know because we hear it every year on Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, all about Zinus Chinam. On baseless hatred, not liking people for no reason. So the Gemara says that you see from here that Zinus Chinam is just as bad as all those three sins put together. So I was thinking that when the Jews committed one of those three sins, one of the Amudim was broken. The world, and we know the world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. So when one sin was perpetrated, one of the poles, one of the pillars was broken. When the second was done, the second pole pillar was destroyed. And these pillars are all keeping up the world, keeping up the Beis HaMikdash. When they committed the last one, then the third pillar was gone. Therefore, there's nothing to keep the Beis HaMikdash standing. So I'd like to also to connect the three Amudim to the three Aveiros. First one, I think, is very easy. Avodah corresponds to Avodah Zarah, because Avodah is focusing on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Avodah Zarah is diametrically opposed to focusing on God. You're taking all your thanks and gratitude and giving it to a stone. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me all the siyata d'shmaya. You're saying, talking to a statue. So that's the opposite of Avodah, where you put all your focus into God and recognizing his or our dependence on him. Next one. One that you can disagree with these. Gemilus Chasadim, kindness, when you're giving to others, is the opposite of Shrichas Damim. When you're taking away life from a person, Gemilus Chasadim, depending on what it is, it could give life to a person. So when they when they kill people, that broke the pillar of Gemach, Gemilus Chasadim. Torah, by default, is Gilui Arayos. And for this, you can really argue with me. What is Torah? Torah, I think as we told you, as I said last week, is the concept of giving you Torah, mitzvot, which gives us boundaries and disciplines. They say, in Avos, in the first mission, Asu Siyag L'Torah, make a fence around the Torah. But the Torah itself is a fence. We got to make a fence around the fence, because you don't want to make any breaches. Because once you make a breach, as we said yesterday, Baal Pa'ar, then anything, the sky's the limit. But what you've... excuse me. But what you feel you can do, no holds bar. That's it. And Gilui Arayos is the breaking of boundaries. Because this woman is usher to you, there's a boundary around her. But if you go through the boundary and you marry the woman, that's the opposite of a discipline. That's the opposite of a border. Gilui Arayos is breaking down the boundaries that the Torah set for us. So when they were Megal Arayos, that was breaking down the pillar of Torah. Shri Chastan broke down the pillar of Gemach. Avodah Zarah broke down the pillar of Avodah, serving Hashem. So I think to put all this together, our goal during the 3 weeks, which Hashem gave us as preparation, is to work on harmony. Whether it's harmony in your own relationship with yourself, harmony with other people, harmony with God. And also simply recognizing that the world we have here, good as it might look, it's nothing like it could be. You have to recognize there's something better out there. It's like explaining to a blind man who thinks life is great. He gets around and he says, I can give you an operation that can give you your eyesight. No, I'm really happy like this. Really happy. I'm fine being blind. I'm used to the dark. I can walk around. I don't bump into anything. I don't fall down. It's good. I don't want to go through all the tirchus of going through a surgery. Finally, he convinces him. And when he wakes up and he opens his eyes, just as a very bad example, something's on the TV. And I think for those who have seen The Wizard of Oz, the most wow moment is when Dorothy steps out of the hut and everything's color. Goes from black and white to color. All of a sudden this person says, you're right. I have no idea what I was missing. Why was I so foolish to push off the operation? We have to believe Be'emunah Shlema that the world is going to be so much better in all ways. There will be harmony in so many different ways in totality. There will be real Shlemus. That's what we have to hope for and daven for. On the topic of davening, Rav Volbe writes, like during Elul, we say Yudavid Hashem Oli to get us in the mood. So what can we do to get us in the mood during the 3 weeks? So he says, at the very least, when you bench, when you get to Uvnei Yerushalayim, stop and say the words slow and think about them. At the very least, when you daven Shemona Esrei, when you get to the brachos of Uvnei Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach, stop and say the words slowly and think about it. And when you get to Yehi Shmei Rabbah, which is the greatness of Yehi Shmei Rabbah, the one Brachos teaches us, if you look at the word Yehi, it's future tense because it starts with a Yud. Let it be. So it's a prayer. Yehi Shmei Rabbah is not just a refrain to a Kaddish. It's a prayer. Let your great name be blessed, recognized by the whole world forever, in all situations. That the whole world should recognize that you are Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, and that will bring out the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, because pretty much what we're living through right now, you can argue, is a Chol Hashem. Whenever something goes wrong, and you say, why is this happening to the Jewish people? Where's God? In a way, that's a Chol Hashem. So we're davening for the ultimate Mikadosh Shem Shemayim. That's what we're davening, and that's what we're thinking about when we say Yehi Shmei Rabbah. Let your name be great again, and not vilified, and not desecrated, but sanctified by us, in the world, and then he says, all different worlds, the world of Mashiach, the world of Tchiyas Mason, so they will have the total Shlemus. So during these 3 weeks, we have the opportunity in our tefillos, in our benching, to take a few seconds to focus on this moment, because otherwise the 3 weeks just goes by like this. Before you know it, it's lasagna time, the 9 days. And before you know it, we're fasting, we're sitting on the floor. And before you know that, countdown to when music and swimming starts on the day after. So now is the time to prepare. I hope everyone has a meaningful 3 weeks, which will culminate in a meaningful Tisha B'Av. Mitzvah Hashem, we won't have Tisha B'Av this year. But if we happen to have, Mitzvah Hashem will be the last one. We'll all be Zocha to Shlemus in our own lives, Shlemus with everyone else, Pein Adam L'Chaveo, and Shlemus in our Kaddish HaBaruch Hu. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening.